Now I want to turn our thoughts to the third chapter of 1 Peter. And I'll read the first 7 verses. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. First 7 verses of the third chapter of 1 Peter. Now, we're really discussing the 11th chapter of Luke, verses 9 and 10 says, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. We discussed a few points last Sunday morning about conditions under which prayers would not be answered. And yet he says, everyone that asketh receiveth. Everyone that asketh receiveth. But there are sometimes that people don't receive. It would sound like a cross or contradiction in the scriptures. But actually it isn't. This is a grand, broad promise. Everyone who asketh receiveth. Somebody said, that's just the way I like it. Just ask for whatever I want and get it. That's fine. I just like it that way. Well, I do too. But we find everybody doesn't get it that way. There's some strings attached to that. Some conditions connected with it, as there are all the other promises in God's Word. Now we have another condition that hinders prayer. And he summed this up by saying that your prayers be not hindered. Now I'm confident that there is a breakdown in many prayer lives because their prayers are hindered through an improper relationship between the husband and the wife. He lays it out here. Wives are to be in subjection to their own husbands. And goes ahead to explain what that means. The extent of that. Now, God does not require people to marry. He gave us an ordinance of matrimony. But it is not required that people marry. But God says, now I've given you this institution for the general welfare and happiness and good of humankind. You don't have to enter into it, but if you do, here's what I'm expecting of you. If you enter into it, there's some restrictions on it. And there are certain requirements. The wife is to be in subjection to her own husband. There are numbers of scriptures in regard to that. In Colossians 3, in Titus 2, in Ephesians 5, and other places. Now, I've been trying to figure out just how this fits into the program, and my conclusion is this, that we cannot disregard God's word at this point and have His favor on us any more than we can disregard God's word at any other point and have His favor on us. God expects us to fulfill His will if He's going to hear and answer our prayers. And if we're going to have good success in our lives, He's going to expect us to do certain things. He brings in about the adornment of the body, says that isn't the thing. That's not the way you're going to win your husband. You try to win your husband on that basis, you've got perhaps more competition than you can compete with out there in the world. They're all doing that, and they'll do it on a bigger scale than what you can do it. And he said it's not the wearing of gold and the plaiting of the hair and the putting on of apparel and the beautifying the person and adorning the person. That isn't it. But let it be the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Now that's what God admires. Is a meek and a quiet spirit. And let that be your ornament. That's the best ornament there is. God has His own peculiar brand of everything. And He has His own peculiar brand of ornamenting the saints. And He said He's beautified the meek with salvation. I've thought much about Adam and Eve. God set them in this world, and He told them to subdue this world and to rule over it. Man's here to run the world. Sounds like a big order, doesn't it? That's what God put him here for. And He gave him wisdom to do it with. But the devil tempted Eve on that very point of wisdom, said, if you lead of this fruit here, and he was pointing it out to her and talking it up to her, and all, and if you lead of this, you'll become as gods, knowing good and evil. Get as wise as God is. Now, if I've thought this way, if Adam and Eve would just have trusted God, God would have given them all the wisdom that they needed as they went along to subdue this world and rule over it. But they stepped outside the bounds of God's provision and took their own means and their own method to acquire wisdom. And you know how that turned out. God would have given them all the wisdom they needed if they had just waited on Him and trusted in Him. God's Word said that He made man upright, but He sought out many inventions. Seeking in His own way, by His own wisdom, following out His own ingenuities, to discover and to come into knowledge of the things of this world. God had it all. But man has sought out many inventions, and all the inventions that he has sought out has led him farther away from God rather than to God. Now God, in my lesson this morning, has His own brand of adornment. And He can make you very beautiful and attractive to your husband without all of that gold and plaiting the hair and putting on of apparel and all those things. He can make you very beautiful and attractive to your husband without all of that, and help you to hold him. That's God's brand of beauty. Brother Stover and I were downtown one time down in, I don't know, Southern California where we were living. I don't know just what town we were in, but it was teeming with people and all this competition, beauty competition, was parading the streets, just women all made up and done up and all kinds of jewelry and adornment and everything. And Brother Stover said, just look at them. Said, they think they're beautiful. Said, we've got the real beauty out there at the rest home. And he named some of the young sisters out there, says, we've got the real beauty out there. It's God's beauty. When we get out of line with God's plan and program for us, we're going to hinder our prayers. He summed this all up when He gave this lesson, and summed it up by saying, let your prayers be not hindered. And I'll say, an improper relationship between husband and wife will hinder prayer as much as anything. A wife that is in rebellion against her husband's will and not subject and submissive to her husband, or a husband that overrules his wife and lords it over her and takes advantage of her, however the case may be, it's going to hinder the prayer life of that couple. They may both be praying people, but it's going to hinder their prayer life. It's going to hinder their success. Wives are taught to be obedient to their own husbands. Again, I want to remind you that God doesn't require you to marry. You can stay single all your days if you want to and still enjoy the blessings of God in your life. But he just says, now here it is, and I've made it for you, and I present you this institution, and if you step into it, I expect this and that out of you in regard to it. And he's going to see to it that he gets what he expects out of you if you get his blessings. Now, while I'm on this point, I want to say that improper relationships between husband and wife, it later on becomes improper relationships between father and mother, and the result is improper relationship between parents and children. And it just runs a perpetual course that never runs out. Brother Chandler used to teach us that children were going to behave just like they'd been conditioned. And if girls are brought up in a home where the wife is not subject to her husband and in submission to her husband, they're not going to be to theirs. And their children won't be either. It just goes on from generation to generation. And if they're raised in a home where father is a despot and a tyrant and lords over his wife, those boys are going to be just like that with their wives. That's the way they've been conditioned. That's the way they think that is proper. The way to behave. And their boys will be just like that. On down the line. This is the rule. There are exceptions to all rules. And sometimes down the line when people get out and get on their own and get to seeing how the rest of the world lives, they'll break the pattern. But that's the exception rather than the rule. Most of the time they just behave like they've been conditioned. And daughters come right up. They're going to go out and behave just like they saw their mothers behave as they were coming up. Sons will do the same thing with their father. Now he's teaching this submission. God has ordained that the home be the fountainhead of all things spiritual and moral. It's going to issue right forth from the home. People have remarked to me about former statesmen, presidents, senators, leaders, great men, political leaders, and how much different they were to what we have now. My answer to them invariably is, how much different the homes were back there than they are now. People were God-fearing back there. And their children came up God-fearing. And as the fear of God has pretty much gone from the lives of the people, the fear of God's gone from those who exercise authority over us. It's going to be more far-reaching than just your home if you don't behave like you ought to in your home before your children. It'll affect them and their children and their children until somebody breaks the pattern. Now, as God has taught extensively in His Word that the wife is to be in subjection to her own husband, every once in a while I hear somebody say, and I kind of cringe when I hear them say this, "Well, you know, so-and-so's the boss over there in that home. And it's a wife. She's the boss." I kind of cringe at that because I know that there's some prayers being hindered over there. And that things aren't going like they should. And it won't go like it should for their children either. And on down the line. But I know men who are tyrannical in this. They say, "God requires you to obey me." And they just put all kinds of unreasonable things on their wives. And so God injected this 7th verse in there. He says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Amen. God just announced to them, "I'm not going to answer your prayers if you don't behave like you should, one toward another. Your prayers are going to be hindered." Now, I don't interpret this verse, maybe like some folks. Give honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Now, I recognize that a woman is more delicately constructed than a man. And in that particular, she can't endure the strenuous activities that men do. And I have to take down on that with some of them too, because they can just about outdo men. Some of them are strong and they can pretty well do a man's work. But granting that point, I don't think that's what this scripture means. The wife being the weaker vessel. I know she isn't weaker mentally, and she isn't weaker morally, and if there are any way that she is weaker, it's physically. But granting that, I say, I do not consider that's what this scripture means. In my mind, and the way I interpret this scripture, it refers to the natural disadvantage that God put the woman in when He required her to be in subjection to her husband. And to submit to Him, that gives Him a natural advantage over her. But now He turns right around and He says, "You take heed that you don't take advantage of this advantage and impose on your wife, because I required her to be subject to you and submit to you." And many do that, or I'll say it like this, some do that. And actually put unreasonable demands on their wives. "I'm the boss here. I'm in charge." Well, you are in a certain way, but there's a limitation on it. Dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. Now that carries the thought to me that in God's sight, they're equal. The husband and his wife were equal, heirs together, share and share alike in the grace of life. God looks on them and deals with them as equals. Husbands should keep that in mind when they are ruling over their wives. I'm ruling over an equal. Someone that's equal with me. But for home management and family operation, God has ordained that the wife be in subjection to the husband. And yet she's an equal. And as I rule over her, I'm ruling over an equal. And I need to honor and respect her as an equal, equal with me.
Douglas says joint heirs.
Joint heirs. This says heirs together, same thing, that your prayers be not hindered. Many prayers are hindered right at this point. Everyone that asketh receiveth, if he behaves like he should. And if his attitudes and dispositions are like they should be. And if there's no obstruction in the way. But there are certain things as obstructions to people's prayers. And the round trips that they make, prayers going up and answers coming back. Being heirs together, joint heirs, equal heirs. Now this is God's ordained plan for home and family management. And it is this God to whom we pray. In order to receive His favors, we must qualify for them. And though Jesus said, everyone that asketh receiveth, let me remind you again, I did last Sunday morning, that there's an inner circle. And everybody isn't in that inner circle. And all the saved folks aren't in that inner circle. But there is an inner circle of people that are up to date with God, living humbly before God, obeying God to all they know and understand, walking in every ray of light they have and measuring up to every bit of truth that they know and responding to all of God's dealings with their souls, that find their way into that inner circle. And in there, everybody that asks receives. Now, Jesus said it right. It is right what He said. But He left it for Paul and Peter and some of the rest to circumscribe this with qualifications. And these qualifications and these strings attached and all, they're just as much a part of God's Word as what Jesus said, ask and ye shall receive, and everyone that asketh receiveth. Just as much a part of it, and must be respected, and we must be complying with God's will in our lives as far as we know and understand it in everything. to be in that inner circle, that everyone who asketh receiveth. Amen.